So thanks for giving me the chance to present this. I'm a grad student with KT here, and I'll be presenting work I've been doing through my thesis with my wonderful collaborators, Adrian, Wikang, and Sten Delos. So you guys probably know this. We haven't found dark matter. So this has led us to go to wonky places to look for it. And one of them is hidden sectors. I don't need to sell hidden sectors to you. It's a secluded sector with dark matter and some other relatives of dark matter, living secluded from the standard model. Now, if it's hidden, how do I look for it? So, fortunately, we have a tight constraint on BBN. It should have happened in radiation domination, but we don't know what happened before BBN and between that and inflation. So there's a lot of wiggle room, as Melissa said on the first day. So you could have a period of matter domination before inflation and radiation domination in the early universe. And this could be caused by various things like moduli fields and string theory and so on. But we are going to focus on a bunch of massive particles, or one species of massive particles in the hidden sector, which behaves like dark matter at some point and leads to matter domination. Now, why do I care about this? Because firstly, if dark matter freezes out during or before an EMD, I can explore lower cross sections than the standard WIMP cross section. We saw the Voyager plots yesterday, so we can skirt that. And secondly, early matter domination leads to the linear growth of dark matter perturbations, and this leads to a boost in the power spectrum on small scales. You can see here that these are the modes which entered the universe before or during the EMD, and they get a boost. And this is a power spectrum at Z of 3400, and the dashed line shows unity. And this power spectrum has already crossed unity at this early time. So you'll see the formation of microhalos, which will then persist as dense cores inside current day halos. So this is what we'll be looking for. So what's our setup? It's a very simple setup. Here's a plot of rho for our different species as a function of scale factor. So we have your standard model radiation in orange. We have the Y particles, which are the lightest hidden sector particles, which also act as a mediator between dark matter and standard model. They are hot initially. As you can see, the rho is going as 8 to the minus 4, and then they become cold. And after they become cold, they start to dominate the universe for a little while. And this yellow shaded region is the early matter domination period. You also need a way to restore radiation domination. So the Y particles are coupled to the standard model with some decay rate gamma. When this becomes comparable to Hubble, they decay away and you have radiation domination again. So you haven't touched anything after BBN, or like just before BBN. So notice that since the Y particles are initially hot, density perturbations in the Y will be suppressed for modes which enter the horizon when they're hot. So as a result, you will get a suppression in the power spectrum of Y perturbations. As you see the green plot, this is when you add their pressure. And fortunately for us, since the Y particles are the dominant component in the EMDE, the suppressions will be mirrored onto the matter power spectrum, because the dark matter perturbations will track the Y perturbations. So that's what we're looking for, because this peak here will tell you the densities of the first halos which form, which will set the boost factors and so on for the annihilation signal. So we've given transfer functions for this. So if you give me the mass of the Y particle and so on, I can tell you the exact location of this cutoff. But things aren't that simple as usual. This is a power spectrum I've shown you at the end of the EMDE. So this is Z of about 10 to the 12. And the gray line again shows 1. And this is already crossing unity at some scale. So you will see the formation of structure in this scenario before the EMDE ends. Now remember, most of the clustered particles in the EMDE are Y particles, and they decay away at the end. So these halos will then dissipate away. And the dark matter, which has been unfortunate enough to fall into these, will get shot out at high speeds, heated up. And because of that, you'll see a free streaming cutoff on the power spectrum of the dark matter. Here is a cool movie I made, which I will show, because that's what simulators do. So here is the structure forming during the EMDE. And this is the end of the EMDE now. You can see the cosmic web is formed. This is extremely small scales. But now as I run this movie forward, you will see the dissipation of the structure and the smoothing out of this cosmic web. because the Y particles have gone away, and so the potentials for the halos have just gone poof, right? So this will show up as a cutoff in the matter power spectrum. Here we've compared the linear power spectrum to the power spectrum from our simulations, and as you go forward in time, this cutoff is moving to larger scales because the dark matter is free streaming. Now, fortunately, you can tie this cutoff to the linear power spectrum at the end of the AMD. So we have transfer functions for that. You can just use that, and you can get some value for this cutoff and where it is at what time. So now we've given you the technology to deal with this convoluted process of.
Is it decaying into what? Sorry. Is it decaying into what?
Why?
So you decaying.
Yeah. The Y particles are decaying into standard model particles.
Standard model, okay, so that's.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So if you're simulating right now for the radiation.
Yeah, yeah.
And everything.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. So we've given you the machinery to deal with this complex heating process, and if you impose those cutoffs, you get these power spectra. So these are power spectra for different cosmologies at matter radiation equality. The solid lines are if you impose the gravitational heating cutoff scale, and the dashed lines are if you don't impose it, just for comparison. So most of your EMD boost, or like a large portion of it, is getting wiped out by this heating process, but you still have a significant bump remaining, and this bump is peaking at around unity at matter radiation equality. So this is very early, and you'll get the formation of microhalos because of this, even if you have gravitational heating. Any questions at this point? Okay, so great. I have all this, what do I do with it? So these are very small scales, CMB doesn't work here. So, but you can have cosmic microlensing where these compact objects will lens passing by stars, and you can detect variations in the brightness. You can have pulsar timing arrays because these micro halos will tug at pulsars and lead to a phase shift which you can detect. I haven't worked on these directly, so I won't go into this. I will go into the boost to the dark matter annihilation signal from the substructure which forms due to these scenarios. Now the paradigm I'll use for that is not the standard paradigm of hierarchical structure formation. I'll go to much recent research which says that the first bound objects which form are these prompt cusps which form from the direct collapse of peaks in the density field. And what's interesting about them is they have these very steep density profiles which go as r to the minus 3 over 2. And even after merging with other cusps and so on, these density profiles are persistent inside the inner reaches of these cusps. So these cusps then become the scaffolding of current day halos as substructure. And because of their steep profiles, they will dominate the dark matter annihilation signal. So even though these peaks are very rare and they make up only 1 to 10% of the dark matter, the majority of the dark matter annihilation signal comes from these cusps. So how do you sample them? So there's a nice code written by Jens Stuka called cusp encounters. We modify that to include our power spectra from the EMDE, our growth functions, time-dependent collapse for radiation domination, heating effects, and so on. So you feed it a power spectrum like this, which has a peak because of the EMD and a heating cutoff with it. That will then sample the properties of peaks. This is the collapse type histogram. So these collapses are right around matter radiation equality. So this is very, very, very early. And then because these cusps form directly from the peaks, you can infer the properties of these cusps from the peaks. So this is a histogram of the radius of the cusp and the central factor A, which tells you the density. And you can see that these are very, very small objects. So you've sampled a population of cusps with their properties. Great. Now, what do you do with that? So if you look at a large swath of the universe where you have dark matter, if it's dominated by these tiny point-like sources, then your signal goes as rho instead of rho squared. Fortunately, this is comparable to the signal from decaying dark matter, which also goes as rho. So people have worked on limits on the decaying dark matter lifetime. And because of this equivalence, you can then convert this limit plot for a given dark matter mass. You can sample the J using your code for each cosmology, and you can convert this constraint plot into a constraint on sigma V for your model. So the red line here shows the bound on sigma V. And the black line is the correct sigma v you need for the correct dark matter abundance. And you'll see that they intersect somewhere. So this is the lowest allowed dark matter mass for this EMDE model. That means that each of these plots can be converted to one point of information. And that's what I'll show you here. So each EMDE scenario can be specified by three parameters: the mass of the Y particle, the TD heat, which tells you when the EMDE ends, and the ratio of the visible to Y particle density at the beginning. So each point on this plot is one EMDE scenario, and this is showing you the contours of the minimum allowed dark matter mass. I'm running out of time, so I'll just go through one example. If you go along the arrow, you will shorten the EMDE, and if you shorten the EMDE, you have a smaller peak, you have a lower J factor because you're lowering sampling less dense cusps, and that will lead to a lower DM mass, as you can see here. So as you go along this range, you lower the minimum DM mass allowed. So the takeaway is that there's a huge section of this parameter space which is allowed if you consider the gamma ray background. So I will leave you with this, which is dark matter might be hidden, but you can shine light on it in some ways, and you can still detect these signatures. And the next steps are just like, I just leave them there since I don't have time. Yes, James.
These are parsec scale things. Could you show the plot of the sauce?
Yeah, so these are less than parsec.
1.6%.
Yeah. These are really small.
Okay, and they're 1% of the dark matter. I mean, I'm just wondering about effects with sort of collisions with the solar system. What's the mass of the microhalos?
So these are the cusps, these are on microhalos. So,
oh, these are the cusps.
Yeah, so the microhalos will form after the cusps sort of mingle together. But because these are so dense, your majority of the signal from even the microhalos will come from these little kernels of, so these are the microhalos. But the microhalos, if you use Preschecter, you get around 10 to the minus 8 to 10 to the minus 12 solar masses. If you use Preschecter just from the EMDE power spectra to just sample microhalos and not cusps.
But the microhalos are all of the dark matter, only 1% of it?
Microhalos are all of the dark matter, so yeah.
Because
so the microhalos are participating in the standard story of like forming halos and then bigger halos.
You can quite a lot of jitter in the solar system. You go minus 12.
By jitter, you mean variation in density over the scale of the solar system?
Yeah, you get like mechanical effects on the solar system. Mm.
The reason I doubt it is just because of primordial black hole constraints in dynamical limits are usually either higher or lower than these
higher
masses. Yeah, mostly higher.
But those are much.
And they're more concentrated.
We should
take a time.
Yeah, so I haven't thought about that, but yeah.
Yeah. Thanks.